ராமாய ராமபத்ராய ராமச்சந்திராய வேதசே ரகுநாதாய நாதாய சீதாய பதியே நமக. கிஷ்கிந்த காண்ட் சாப்டர் நம்பர் 25 வாலிஸ் ஃபியூனரல் தி ரெசிடேஷன் பிகின்ஸ் நவ. Rama and his brother were touched with keen sorrow at the pitiable plight of Sugriva and his monkeys. The prince turned to them and said, "This grief of yours would in no way benefit your departed king. So turn your hearts to the work that lies before you. You have enough discharged your duty to him in lamenting him so piteously. Inexorable are the laws of fate and cannot be deflected by a single hairbreadth. It brings into manifestation the countless systems. It is the cause and the means of all acts and activities in this world of ours. All created beings do but follow the lines it has marked out for them. No one is free to act or to cause another to do so, for all work under the eyes of Providence. The Lord is the refuge and haven of all, but unlike poor, helpless mortals, he takes his orders from none. Nor does he transgress the limits he has set for himself. Eternal, changeless, he would have none overstep the bounds he has laid for the guidance of the world. Why? He is the very first to observe his own laws, and no wonder that the jiva, all dependent on him, obeys his dictates. He has no prepossessions, no prejudices, no friend, no enemy. Utterly without bias, his brows are ever crowned with a passionless calm. And there is no other way to his heart other than through his grace. Your strength, your prowess, your valor help you not in the least in winning him over to your side. He has no kith, no kin, no favorite. The supreme cause, how could he be cozened or wheedled by the puny jiva? He guides the destinies of this universe in strict conformity with the acts and deserts of each individual. The wise man studies this supreme mystery and is cheerfully confident that the Lord ever seeks our highest good. His infallible decrees send down to us at the right time and place what we are entitled to, merit or demerit, wealth or poverty, joy or sorrow, liberation or bondage. So it is but a thankless task when we grieve over it. Vali has expiated his sins, an arrow took his life and gave him absolution. And now he stands in his robes of utter purity and glory to start on his journey to the worlds of light, to enjoy the fruits of his righteous acts. He goes back to the mansion he has built for himself by the scrupulous discharge of the duties of his position in this life, and by his matchless valor that never turned its back upon the foe. Verily, it is no ordinary reward that he has earned for himself in the worlds on the other side of death. Utterly insane and absurd would it look to grieve for him. Turn your hands to something more useful, more pertinent. Then Lakshmana addressed himself to Sugriva and said, "Enough of this grief. Let Tara see to it that Angada performs the funeral rites of his father. Get ready the necessary piles of sandal, aguru, and other fragrant woods. Set yourself to console the broken-hearted boy. Pull yourself up. See not that the kingdom and its responsibilities rest on your shoulders. Let Angada order for garlands and garments of various hue, ghee, oil, and perfumes. Dispatch your minister Tara for the bier. I tell you, it is good that such things are done quickly and well. Send for monkeys to carry the bier, strong, stalwart, skillful, and well trained to do it." He gave his orders to Sugriva and went back to Rama. Then Tara, the minister of Sugriva, ran to Kishkindha and came back in no time with a royal bier and his cortege of warriors and veterans. A magnificent throne was laid in the center of it, fashioned like a spacious chariot. Birds and beasts, trees and creepers, and many a landscape, many a view were skillfully executed on its walls in color and marble. It was decorated like the celestial cars of Siddhas that range the sky. Windows and skylights were cunningly distributed over it. priceless garlands, festoons of red lotuses and other lovely flowers hung everywhere. Red sandal paste, skillfully painted all over, sent a grateful fragrance all around. Many a cave and covert, many a bower and grove was constructed in it, while a spacious pleasure garden and a mimic hill of wood rose from a corner, spacious and cunningly wrought. It was, in short, a masterpiece of Vishwakarma's handicraft. Rama saw the warriors draw near it and said to Lakshmana, "Let Vali be placed in it and the funeral rites proceed." Then Sugriva and Angada rent the air with their piteous cries as they laid the corpse in its last home and adorned it with garlands, garments, gold and gems. Thereafter, Sugriva issued an order that the funeral rites of his dear departed brother should be performed in the grandest scale possible and in utter conformity with the Shastras. Gems, gold, silver, pearls, coin, and other precious articles should be scattered all around as the royal bier proceeded to the crematorium. The funeral obsequies of Vali were conducted as magnificently as became the monarch of boundless wealth and power. Tara, the minister of Sugriva, and others of his kin supported Angada and followed the bier, piteously crying as if they were deprived of everyone near and dear to them. Tara and the other royal ladies were supported by the wives of the monkey chiefs and rent the air with their cries as they described the strength, the might, the bravery, and the other inestimable qualities that endeared their lord to them. The hills and the forests echoed back their cries and seemed to share their grief. They stopped at the bed of a torrent and raised the funeral pyre on a pure and spacious shoal of sand. The bearers of the bier set it down there and stood apart. Tara laid Bali's head on her lap and cried, "Monarch of monkeys, light of my eyes, mighty hero, who more deserves than your noble self to enjoy the pleasures of this world? Then why, oh why, have you elected to abandon them? Boundless was your love to me, and you have no word, no look, no glance for me. See now these myriads of your people writhing in the agony of grief. Albeit reft of life, your face shows no change, but it is as cheerful and pleasant as ever. Like the sun in his western home, it shines with the radiance of yore. Is it Yama that drags you to his gloomy mansion in the disguise of Rama? Where did he come from, this Rama, to these accursed woods to blast the fair hopes and lives of us all and condemn us to deathless widowhood? Your favorite wives have painfully trudged thus far into these wild woods, and you have no pity for them, not one kind word or consoling look. Or is your love towards them only a snare, a delusion? Yonder stands Sugriva, your brother. Tara and your other ministers surround you. All your subjects and citizens are here. They await your orders. Arise and speak to them, for it is time that we repair to the delightful woods, hills and valleys to disport ourselves." And so she raved on and on in the wildness of her grief as if demented. Then her women tore her away from Bali and conveyed her to a safe distance. Angada and Sugriva lifted the body upon the pyre, crying all the while. The son lit the sacred fire and went round his father from right to left, who was setting out on his journey to the land from which no traveler returns. The funeral rites were conducted most carefully, even as the books enjoin it. Then Sugriva, his minister Tara, and others followed Angada to the river to offer libations of water. The princes saw to it that nothing went amiss. And so Sugriva discharged the last offices to him whom the shaft of Rama laid low, to Vali of matchless fame and glory, and took his place near the brothers while the others returned to Kishkinda. Mangalam Kushlendraya Mahniya Gunavdiya Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarva Bhomaya Mangalam.